Hey, what's up out there, addicts? Welcome to the Addicted Fishing Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. We got a change of scenery going on here.
Are you weirded out?
I'm weirded out. Ain't gonna lie.
And it's looking
we're trying weird. To make this a little bit more engaging for all you people that are watching on YouTube and all you people that are not watching on YouTube and you're listening on iTunes and Spotify and all those other places. You need to come over to YouTube and hang out with us because we're also videoing these podcasts so you can listen to them on YouTube as well. What are we talking about? What are we going to talk about tonight? Why'd your phone crack?
Plug fishing, right? Plug fishing?
Some plugs? Cam, you don't ever fish any plugs at all for salmon, do you?
Little high water techniques?
Yeah, I don't think so. Do you fish any plugs?
When I have to, yeah.
When I have to, but pretty much no?
Well, no, I'd like to, but I like trolling.
Yeah. You know?
If the conditions allow me to troll, that's what I do.
You know why I hate plug fishing? Because you have to get out there early to get all the damn good spots.
Oh, I'm not into that anymore.
Ever since the 360 Super Series stuff came about,
yep,
I like that. Just show up when you want. Go troll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to Ed about that the other day. You know, it's like back in the day, you used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. sleep on an anchor spot.
Yep.
Like, I just can't do it anymore. Yeah. When you're fishing as many days as we are waking up that early, it's like,
yeah. I know Josh, you know, like Josh was doing that a bunch. Josh is still doing that the last couple of years for Steelhead, and I just been over it. Like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm not trying to go down there.
That's a little different because there's 200 spots down there that not enough people know. I don't even talk about that. We're talking about plugs.
Yeah, true. Sorry, yes. I didn't mean to derail us. Before we get too crazy, this podcast might get out before the extension. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, really quick. I mean, Columbia River Fishery, you know, it ended today. We're doing this podcast on April 10th. However, they did just announce that they're going to give us two more days, April 13th, 14th. However, the conditions the last couple days have been kicking people's butts. You know, I mean, there's some guys getting them out there. I mean, I give them some credit. You know, there's some guys getting after it, and they got some fish on these last couple days. But ultimately, you know, the conditions were very, very much against us. And if you landed on them, you did. And if you didn't, well,
you didn't.
Yep. So
Jordan one day gets in my boat and we're going to float just me and him. And he's like, you know, today, Marlon, we're going to catch the ones that we're going to catch and the ones that we're not going to catch. Well, we're not going to catch those ones. I was like, what?
Sweet, dude. Thanks for the
that was Jordan's deepest thought, by the way.
Just like, what the hell? At first, I had to like think about it for a second because it confused me.
Just comment, big hair, big fish.
Wait till you see the new hat I got from the next live feed. I got a Jordan wig to put on.
Oh, God.
It's glued onto an Addicted hat. It's so sick. Just wait.
We should do it when he's in Alaska so that way he doesn't see it. He's not here.
That's
so awesome. Also, all you guys that are out there listening, before we kind of dive too deep into salmon fishing, we did want to announce that we finally released a date for the new movie premiere, Addicted Alaska. It's on May 31st in Portland, Oregon at the Alberta Rose Theater, and we have tickets available for purchase now. There's 400 seats in the theater, so we hope to fill that damn thing to the brim. So please head over to our website, addicted.fishing. There's a bunch of different options to get tickets. We have general admission. We have like a VIP admission, which will get you like preferred seating, the better seating in the theater. And then we're also offering a family admission this year where you can basically get two tickets for free for kids under 12. So we really want you to bring your families and bring the kids. And that's kind of one of the inspirations behind making these films is hopefully being able to inspire kids to get out fishing just like we did when we were kids. So kids under 12 come for free. There's an option on there to purchase family admission. So Addicted Alaska 2, Winter Chrome Blend. Come hang out and see us May 31st. It's going to be fun.
It'll be entertaining. It's always awesome. Fun. Always
can't
fun.
Wait.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking about plug fishing, there's some pretty epic plug scenes on that.
There is.
We can't talk about that much, but there's some insane plug fishing that happens on that film. And like we talked about, if you guys are in our live feeds and our YouTube feeds, or if you're watching on YouTube right now, thanks so much. Don't forget to subscribe. Tap that subscribe button. But like we said, this isn't just your normal movie. You don't sit down and like watch a movie and hang out and like it's all quiet and it's a party. We're cheering and clapping and we're giving away prizes and I'll be throwing out hats into the audience and we want people to be stoked and excited and have a good time. There's drinks there, alcohol for the people that are of age to drink alcohol.
Over 21.
So there'll be food. They have like a full bistro there. It's a cool place and it's like an old kind of, historic theater, really. So I think it'll be fun. It's gonna be a good time.
And it's bigger than the last one. So all you guys that sit there 3 days before the movie comes out and goes, "Hey man, you got any extra tickets?" And we go, "No, we sold them out.
We sold them out."
Like, I said this. I said this on the live feed. There was people at the door asking for tickets.
Yeah,
you know, to get in.
That was pretty crazy to see, and that means a lot to us, guys. We're not like trying to be cocky or brag about that. We're humble about that. We're excited and stoked that you guys are that excited to come hang out and see these movies, and that's why we're making them, because it wasn't for you guys supporting them, there wouldn't be any reason for making them. So please keep coming out by the masses and supporting these things, because then we'll keep bringing badass fishing content to you.
That's right. Yep.
We'll do it again.
And that movie is badass fishing content.
Exactly. if you are a steelhead angler and you watch that and you don't like enjoy it, then you're just a hater. Period.
I'm convinced. I watched the trailer and I do it every day of my pretty much every day of the season, and it got me excited. Yeah, I wanted to be there.
Yeah, so awesome. Is your mic messed up there?
All good, man.
Oh yeah. So that's all I'm going to say about Addicted Alaska. Let's talk what these people really want to talk about, and that's like fishing.
Yeah, salmon, no,
catching them.
Yep, spring season, Columbia, 2019. What a joke.
What? You caught some fish.
Columbia's got fish. I don't know. It's just a weird year. Fish are scattered, not very many of them. These last like 4 or 5 days of the season, you know, Nick and I should have been going out making four passes, whacking four, calling buddies to do the afternoon troll, and Mother Nature just decided to bitch slap us right upside the head and said, nope, we're not doing that this year.
It was right as fishing started to kind of, started to improve, and you started to figure them out a little bit, and then all of a sudden, there's just this monster storm. You know, we didn't get rain all winter. Literally had zero floods all winter. And then right in our 10-day opener, we just get blasted.
Yeah. And what's funny, too, is like, not funny, but like some of that upper Willamette Basin stuff had flows higher than they had in 96.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
They
were telling people, like, do not collect your things. Believe you are going to flood.
My client I had the last day I fished, she's actually from their Cottage Grove area, and she told me that she lives way up off this high end bank, and she had like 2 feet of water in her yard, and she's been there since the 90s, and had never seen it that high. The Coast Fork of the Willamette is what really,
that's massive. the one that Doriana Dam or whatever. I'm not familiar with those areas, but
that's convenient for those guys that don't leave their house, so they can just fish from their house.
Yeah, you right? Just cast the line out.
Put a gill net in your living room.
Did you see that video, KAT?
Yeah, the video of the jet sledder.
Yeah, going across the highway.
I mean, and people are freaking out about that. I'm like, we do that every day.
Yeah, every day.
Every day we fish in those currents in the high water. Water.
Yeah. That guy obviously knew what he was doing.
He's probably going to get in trouble, though, for something. I don't know.
It looked to me like some sort of...
Well, he needed groceries,
research boat or something.
No. So someone posted...
That looked like one of those little jet boats they use in
It was. It was a nice boat. Yeah. But you know what the boat's name was? Called? Uh-uh. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
It's called Titan, T-I-T-A-N, Uranus.
Oh my god.
I saw the picture of it.
That was on the news?
That one wasn't on the news, but obviously a lot of people, a lot of fishermen, small world, small community.
That is funny.
I'm dead serious. Did you see that?
Oh, so it was like just a normal dude.
No, all the people on Fishing Addicts were posting this guy's boat. He's a fisherman, one of the up dude. No,
he is officially to you now.
So who filmed it?
Well, the helicopter filmed it from
So the helicopter was just cruising by. And he was oh my god, that guy's cruising out in his boat. And he just started filming it.
Well, yeah, and then people are sharing it on Fishing Addicts.
Oh my god!
And then other fishermen know him, and they have I'm gonna pull it up right now. There's other people with this.
That is the most. That guy's a legend in life. Someone buy him a beer, damn it.
Someone buy that guy a beer. That video was epic. I watched it five or six times.
He's just mobbing.
Yeah, he's just ripping around.
Fun.
Yeah, that was super cool.
Tighten your anus around the corner.
Hey, before I forget, let us know if you guys kind of like this new setup. We're going to keep adding to it, probably put some banners in the background. We're going to put a little table in front of us and kind of just make this, hopefully be able to bring fishing lures that we can look and show into the camera and kind of keep adding to it.
You can't really see it right here, but you can see it. I mean, he's got it metal plated out.
That guy's a savage.
That other one get a little closer, but yeah.
That is sweet.
That's hilarious.
It has his name on here, but I don't want to get him in trouble. But
so if you're on the podcast and you're wondering and you're listening, we're talking about KTU News posted a video today of a guy basically cruising his boat. The water's so high in the Columbia, he's like ripping it across the highway. Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. Apparently his boat is named Titan Uranus.
Titan.
Titan. Yeah, Titan.
Titan.
And if you don't find that funny,
anyways, there's
I'm
a
sorry.
Lot of water this year, folks. And so with a lot of water, and all that water's coming out from the Coast Fork, by the time we get out to the Columbia again for that extension, it's going to be plug fishing time, high water techniques. And we've had a pretty fortunate year. It's been a troll show.
Yeah.
No questions asked. You know, out here on our live feeds and our YouTube live feed, we did a bunch of different types of scents for your plugs. We wrapped prawns and sardine and herring and canned tuna and all that good stuff. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to get 2 days on the Columbia, but then we got to go to some of those tributaries. And when do you think, because this podcast will be out before that Willamette clears, when do you think we're going to be fishing in that?
If we're lucky, by the 26th, 27th, maybe
you're
first week
two
of May.
Solid weeks.
It might be longer than 2 weeks. I mean, I was kind of looking at the graphs from the past.
Kind of depends on how much more rain we get, too, right?
That's the big question is are we going to get pummeled again, or are we going to kind of get that drying trend and allow this water to fall out? But if we get, like, a straight drop and it crests tomorrow, I was kind of looking at the previous trends, and it drops about 1 to 2 feet a day, you know, until it gets that lower. And then you got to worry about the turbidity, you know, is that last part of the clearing is all turbidity. So yeah. You're waiting for that water clarity to come back, you know, and it could be 3 weeks. I mean, you know, literally we could be looking at the first week of May. If
Sean, was it you that told me you saw someone anchor fishing out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sturgeon. Dude, must be sturgeon. Yeah.
I saw like some of the largest logs I've ever seen floating down the river today. I was
that's
like,
scary.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, the turbidity right now in the Willamette is 72.
Yeah, that's so good. We fish it at about 8.
And
so we got a month.
We have actually, though, like even when the water was high, we've dropped a GoPro down, and the last like 5 feet were actually fairly a lot clearer than it was.
You would be surprised.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, and that's what I always say is like I'll start fishing some of the areas that I fish. Like I'll start fishing those when the turbidity is still up above what most people would be fishing. You know, you got to change your tactics and you know that
get in tighter.
Yeah, get in tight and find some lanes that those fish are going to move in without dealing with a lot of silt and debris and all those things. You know, everyone gets this idea that the what you see on the surface is what happens down below. You know, for steelhead, for example, some of the holes I fish look just, you would never even think to fish them on the surface, but down below it's pretty calm and those fish hold there, you know? So you've got to find that type of water and really pick that type of water apart. And that's going to be where our success falls for the next few weeks, I think. And that's what we're talking about, you know, high water, what to do in high water, plug fish, anchor fish, back troll, those types of things.
So when it comes to anchor fishing and we're talking plugs, Cam was showing like all the different things to wrap. What's your favorite thing to wrap on a plug? Like what's like your go-to if you pull out a plug, you're going to wrap something on?
So I'm a big tuna guy. I like tuna because I extract the oil from the tuna and then I add whatever I want to the oil. So you can kind of play with it. You're not just getting one scent. You're not stuck in one zone. You really, you know, unless you're brining like sardines or tuna belly or something like that. But canned tuna is so cheap. You can use a lot of it and you can play around. You know, you can mix up a bunch of different bags and you can kind of key on what they're keying in on. And so I like to go the tuna route just for ease of use and, you know, cost effective. And you can really do a lot with it, you know. When you're paying $5 a pack for sardines or $7 of whatever they are, $8 a pack, it's like, do you really want to buy 10 packs and make a bunch of different baits for the day?
No,
not really.
It's hard though because there's been some days where I feel like, man, sardine just really outfished other things.
Yeah, that would be my go-to. I honestly, like sardine was my go-to, especially fall fish, but springers I tend to like tuna.
I was going to say sardine for summers, but tuna for springers. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either.
I would say like tuna later in the season for me has been really, really hot. But earlier in the season, I think that the fish are a little bit pickier.
Yeah, yeah.
But tuna later on in the season has been killer.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and you see that.
Kind of looking back on that day, I remember I had with Jerry when we just absolutely mopped him up on it was summer Chinook, so
yeah,
and they just were munching the sardine,
I do different, you know, if I got six people in the boat, I'm doing different things,
yeah,
you know, and I like to do my, like when I do different baits or different wraps, I like to do them two, two, and two, you know, so I'm spreading them out, doing, you got two of the same rods, so you know what's getting bit and what's not. I tried to do the, you know, one this, one that, and scatter them, but then I never remember what was on what, and by the end, I'm like, what'd you get bit on? And they don't know either, so.
You don't just taste the little piece of bait that's
on. I just lick the plug. The plug and go, oh, yeah, that was sardine.
So what are some of the other things? Cam, I know you showed basically, you did tuna. What'd you do? Prawn.
Prawn, yeah.
Herring you put on there.
Yeah, herring. I mean, prawn is, I think, the most underutilized one. And there's been some days, especially in that late spring, early summer, that's prawn-wrapped plugs really shine. Especially like, you know, your 14 killer fish, stuff like that. You know, I don't know if we're going to get that kind of a fishery this year. You know, with how the compact conversation went with them setting the seasons and what's going to kind of go on, you know, what fish we're going to have for later on. That we didn't catch in these early seasons that we might have available later. There might be a pretty good fishery in May. Who knows?
Yeah.
It kind of depends on the dam counts and all that good stuff at that point. But, yeah, that May fishery with some prawn-wrapped KF-14s work really well. Really well.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like that water temperature, like, really decides on what type of sense you're using, too, for sure.
Yeah, and I always find that, like, once they key in on something, it's like, and that's my thing with scent. That's why I always have a hard time. I was talking about this on the live feed, but, like, dude, once you start with a scent and you get it on you, and if it's something they're not eating that day, you're toast, you know? So I'm real careful with it. Like, I put on gloves and, you know, put one rod out and kind of just do a test rod until you find the scent that they want, but...
Yeah, so that's what Steve, every time Steve from Procure, you know, talks a lot about scents, that's what he always says is he's like, I always just start my program out, everyone's got different scents, and then if that guy gets a fish on the scent, everyone still has different scents. As soon as he gets another fish on the scent, everyone goes to that scent.
I always say it's a two fish rule.
Yeah.
Like one is kind of a shot in the dark, but, you know, two is becoming a pattern.
Yeah.
And you kind of just let it roll from there.
And then three, you mop up on everyone around you.
Three, you start to switch everything.
Yeah.
And it's game on, you know.
I don't know about you guys, but do you guys run one plug that's just bare, no scent? Because I've done decently with doing that also.
I have a guy, I know this guy, and he runs, that's all he runs. But he does use scents, and he does some of his own little creations and stuff. But he swears that it will outproduce, and you know, and he catches a ton of fish on plugs, but I don't know, I'm a wrap guy, man. I like to have some type of I don't even know if it makes sense, you know. I kind of feel like if a fish comes up behind your plug, it's gonna be a biter, it's gonna eat it regardless, but like I just have that feeling, it makes me feel more confident, you know, that when a fish is gonna come up behind it, it's gonna eat it with that scent,
or
you
know, just
something to trigger it in on or scent in on. But
and I've all you people out there watching on YouTube, I just want to take this moment to apologize. You know, we've really been trying to work on Cam. He has an addiction to Facebook. So we've been trying hard to get him to like stop scrolling, but he just can't stop. Yeah. Every time he like he'll put his phone in there and he's just scrolling.
It doesn't matter what you're looking at.
I just showed him what I'm looking at though. I'm getting content for this podcast. How else would I show you Titan my anus or your anus?
I respect you for that one, but everything else, you're addicted.
But hey, don't forget, subscribe if you're on YouTube, guys. Like I said, we're going to try to make these podcasts a lot more immersive, hopefully bring in some lures that we can show on camera and just talk about them and do a lot more of those kind of things. So
before I was looking at a rot that I was actually looking at some of the river levels.
And I saw you
turbidity,
doing that. Yeah.
Turbidity in Vancouver. You know, stuff that's really relevant
to, yeah, to exactly, the podcast. You know, yeah. So what is the turbidity right now?
Actually, what's kind of weird, honestly, Vancouver was... So what you guys can do is you can go online, and I got to find it again because I'm going to ask. I think I know what's going on here, but there is a... You can search, go to Google and search Vancouver, as in Vancouver, Washington, turbidity. And what you can see is what they have a gauge, just like they have on the Willamette.
Just the USGS does?
Yeah, and it can determine, like, basically what your visibility is in the water. And what was kind of crazy about it is it starts below 10 like all week, and then it hops up to 20, drops back down to about 15, spikes to 40, then drops back down to about 15 and holds. And if it's at 15, it's totally fishable. Well, it's not totally fishable, but it's, you're in the game. If it's at 40, you don't have a prayer. But
there's a lot of good anchor spots in the anchor.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like, I think what's happening there is when you have the turbidity that's coming into the Columbia right now is either coming from upriver or it's coming from the And I think what's happening there is the when
hashtag
the tide.
No river names.
Hashtag no river names, whatever. Anyways, but you see these two giant spikes on the turbidity gauge, and I think what happens is when the tide, I was correlating the tide to that, and I think the tide slows down the river a little bit, some of that Oregon water shoves over to the Washington side and blows it out.
Yeah.
And so, like, say, because, you I mean, that's look at that. Turbidity doesn't change that well. It goes up that fast, but it sure as hell doesn't come down
that
fast.
Yeah, but could it be a reflection to the river height and the water being let out from the dam?
Well, so if you look at this, and then if you look at your tides, like, you can see how much tide has an effect, and then as that river level goes up, it doesn't. So then when you look at your turbidity, you know how it doesn't anymore? Like, I'm wondering if that has to do with the mud flow coming in from that Oregon side. It's kind of crazy. But for those of you guys that want to look or want to fish, you know, from Vancouver, upstream of the Sandy, that Vancouver turbidity gauge, like I said, it's like kind of your Bible. Yeah. Like I said, it's going to tell you what that water conditions, if they're fishable or not.
Yeah, so if you had, like, where are you going to be this weekend?
I'll probably... somewhere on the Washington side.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all you're going to have unless you go up top. I was going to go way up, but I didn't want to pull my boat and do all that. Mm-hmm. It's just a nightmare.
And that's your alignment turbidity.
Yeah. What is that, like 70?
Yeah, it's like 70.
Well, but for all those people that are wondering why the river's so high, isn't Idaho just getting a shit ton of runoff?
Well, so I got a picture from Jim Hester today, and he said, this is McNary. He said, mud coming. And it's just a picture of the dam at, like, full discharge.
So Idaho is pushing out a ton of water right now. So
that's so crazy.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, like, this weekend, even though the NOAA forecast isn't showing it, I mean, the bottom line, guys, is, like, when we're kind of, like, fighting these high water situations, it's like, okay, they can be super productive. Like, they can be ridiculously productive because if you can find those travel lanes where all the fish are going through and you run the right plugs and you run the right scent – but it's a puzzle because you got to figure out where you can fish, what that tide's doing, what that current's doing, all that good stuff, whether or not McNary and all those dams upriver are going to just send a wall of water down to where you're not going to have a prayer.
Yeah. And you know what's funny about all this is, like, all these guys all season were talking about, oh, it's going to be a low water springer year. It's going to be – I've been saying it for a long time. You don't know how much snow's up there. You know, there was a lot of snow this year. I mean, even the coast got pounded, you know, for what we're used to.
Well, in the spring, like –
yeah.
Yeah. Early winter, we got all that late snowfall.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it's all that late stuff,
late
though.
Snowfall.
And then as you know, and then you turn around and you get 70 and 80 degree days, followed by big torrential downpours. And I mean, dude, we got a wall of water coming. And the reality is it is going to be high water fishing this year. We're not going to have low water. It's just, I think this is going to hang around for a while. Once it's up, it's going to stabilize and kind of stay up. So I just, you know, this is time to put your big boy pants on and go try to figure out how to catch them, because you won't catch them at home. I can tell you that, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you looked at the Farmer's Almanac before
you guys getting them?
This winter, it said that it was supposed to be a mild winter. Like, no one expected all this snowfall.
Yeah.
But if you're a Pacific Northwestonian, if that's even a term, like we all kind of knew it was going to happen.
We weren't getting away with that January and February every day steelheading in 55 degree weather.
Yeah, exactly.
We were going to pay for it sooner or later.
And it happened. We just got hammered with snow.
Yep. I mean, even like, you know, southern Oregon, like Eugene and Cottage Grove, they just are getting pounded by this storm. They got pounded by snow worse than they've ever seen, you know, 3 and 4 feet of snow in there, you know. I mean, that's crazy for late spring, like, you know, so who knows? We just prepare. All you can do is
prepare. I'm going to make it a point this year. Like, you know, I mean, we're trollers, right? We always do that. But with these conditions, like, every year I tell myself, because there's a lot of guys that do some anchoring in those Willamette areas, and some of them do very, very, very well. I told myself, I'm like, I'm going to start doing a little more anchor fishing in those channels and in the Willamette and the
tributaries.
There's
a couple spots, dude, that I know a couple of locals have been doing it for their lifetime. Right. One of them, he's got this like 30 foot boat, and he goes out there on like a 6.5 horsepower kicker, dude, and goes like 4 miles. But he is, I'm telling you, every day the guy's catching fish. You know, it's and it doesn't matter. Even when it's not, it's kind of crazy because even when it's not super high water conditions, his plugs are barely working and he's still getting crushed, you know? And so there's some really good anchor spots out there. And it's just, and it's just hard to you know, you got to be really, you know, set in your ways to go out there and really, you know, do it.
You got to put some time in on that.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you're going to have you're going to see these good days pop up, a guy's trolling, and then it's like you got to stick to your game plan. You know, if you have a game plan, go with it and, you know, make it pay off. There's a lot of research that goes into figuring out that you know, the Willamette, and because it's a weird fishery, you know, it's a dark water, not a lot of current. It's a kind of a weird
fishery. I took the whole month of May off to be right on your ass.
Perfect. You can be in my boat.
you gonna bring popcorn?
Yeah. Gonna bring popcorn and like 700 flashes because that's how many I'll lose trying to follow.
You don't want to follow me. I got some dirty tactics.
Well, I drove over to Willamette today and there was like 500 million logs that were floating down that river. So yeah, be prepared to lose some gear.
Yeah, so Nick has a tactic where he likes to get into these troll lanes, and then he'll catch fish in these troll lanes. But what people don't realize is he's having his clients constantly reel up and drop their baits back down. So he's like, "Hey guys, reel up, reel them up to 10. All right, drop them down to 15. Yep. Reel them down, reel them up to 5. Reel them up to 2. Reel it all the way to the surface."
Yep.
And then
it's very, very like active. It's not for someone like, there's certain clients that can't do it. I mean, I'm not joking. Like, there's a certain client that you can't do it. And if you follow me, you're probably going to lose all your gear because you're not going to realize that we're reeling up. And it happens quite often.
Yeah, Cam, let's hear it.
Well, just a couple years ago, we were back trolling in the Columbia.
Yeah.
And it was really, really high water. And me and TJ and Forrest and a few guides were like, we were doing really good in this one area, but the water completely covered up like this little short wing dam and there was no dolphin on the end of it. We all knew it was there. And so we would sit there and back troll like around it. We cut, you know, back trolled like up to it, you know, reeled stuff in, drifted over it, set stuff back out, fish. Well, this one guy who doesn't guide anymore, which doesn't surprise me, but anyways, he came in one day. And he was like, I think he thought we were trolling, but he's up. So he starts uphill trolling the area. Yes. And he's just in our way. And it's just like annoying. And so he starts trolling uphill. And I'm watching him. And I'm just to the side of him. He's to the inside. Forrest is down below. And Forrest calls me up. He goes, "Are you watching this?" I go, "Yeah." And I go, "I think he's going to." Oh, yeah. And I watched his bow rods load up on the wing dam as he was trolling upstream over it. Like I said, I had no idea what the hell the guy's doing. And then his back rods. And so he goes up like 30 feet past it. All his rods are pinned in it. He finally realizes it. And instead of drifting, just letting off the motor and drifting back over it, he walks around every part of the boat, blows up every line on the rod, blows up every rod, leaves all his gear on the wing nap, and then just takes off. And Forrest and I are on the phone going back and forth. We are just dying. I'm like, "What the hell is this?"
And that was his last Bravo
slow clap. Like, it was the most, it was gratifying to watch.
I kind of have a story like this. So Cam fishes in one area. We're not going to talk about it, but there's an area where a lot of boats like to kind of pile into it, right? And Cam is just in there just beating up these fish. And I'm like, "Dude, I have to go in there. I'm like, I have to get in there and try to get on these fish," right? And him and TJ are like pushing people around in there with their boats, right? So I'm like,
"What? No, come on."
I'm like, "All right, I'm going to try to get my way in here, you know?" So I swing around and I drop in. Well, I wasn't on the current enough. Like, I wasn't on the kicker enough to like get up in there. And so I drop my stuff in and instantly hook it on the, I hooked two rods on because the anchor boats are right there. They all anchor like back a little ways. So yeah, when you're coming up in, if you drop in too early, you catch all those guys' anchor lines. So I try to drop in, instantly snag two of my rods on these guys' anchor lines. And I'm just completely freaking embarrassed what I just did, I'm like, "Just break." I'm like, "This is kind of, we're out of here." So literally, before anyone could even see what I did, I just cut my and went back out of the
thing. Let's go get lunch, boys. We're out here.
And so that was my experience of trying to get it. But then I like you know, I went back in there a few times and finally figured it out how to like get in there and hook fish. But that was my first time trying. So,
and that's the thing, like, you know, you like these areas are not areas, they're not easy to fish. And like these, this fishery, especially on the Willamette and stuff, is it's a tough fishery, man. And if you got to prepare, use your electronics. You know, right. Use your knowledge, pay attention. This isn't a place you're going to drop your rods to the bottom
and really, just troll for even though it's too mile. Late, even though it's too late now, one thing that was kind of nice too is like when we were able to go up into some of these haunts that we troll, like in the channel and the Willamette, when the water was low, just get another kind of. I was able to go through with some of the side scan on my Humminbird, and I was able to like mark the pilings, like, okay, this is the furthest edge of these pilings. I do not want to go through some of the snags at some of the islands and stuff. Yeah. Like, it was. So you know, I kind of spent a couple days going through there, and it's going to pay off.
Well, what I did is I spent a week straight, and I took there's five or six little flats that I like, and I took a week straight, and I went up, and every day I went up, and I motored, and I just graphed the bottom and found big snags and watched the pilings and looked at them, and I found those. But it's what people don't realize, and the things like people don't pay attention to is sets of pilings are evenly spaced, right? You know, so you're going to have piling 12 feet, piling 12 feet, piling 12 feet, so on and so forth. A lot of these guys don't pay attention to that. And so there's a lot of these pilings are super old, you know, so they're broke off halfway down, three quarters of the way down. In your head, I mean, you got to understand that those pilings carry them out into the river. And so that's what people miss on is they see, oh, there's no piling there. So they troll over it. Well, there's still three quarters of a piling underneath the water and they lose all their gear on it. And, you know, four or five times of doing that, you'll just have to.
Well, that's really smart too. Like you said, not myself included, a lot of people don't do that as much as you should. Like go out and spend the time like, oh man, it's not, I need to go out and graft this bottom before I really start fishing this.
Or the best time to do it is it's summertime.
You know, you cheat.
Take Nick's card.
No. What? That 360.
Yeah.
It picks up the pilings and stuff in front of the boat so well, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, really?
That 360 Humminbird. Oh, yeah. It's nuts.
This 360 transducer. Oh, yeah,
you can set it out to like 100 feet in front of you, and you have warning. Like, okay, there's logs, there's debris coming right for you.
Yeah.
That's pretty
sweet. That's really neat.
Yeah. There will be screenshots coming for that, too.
I know you guys are professional guides and all, but aren't we supposed to be talking about plug fishing?
This is high water plug fishing. This is kind of all
high water trolling.
This is pretty much going to be like how our late fishery is what we're thinking about.
Yeah, just
about
it was kind of plug centric, but yeah, we're just talking more high water springer. You know, I think like these guys said, the rest of the season is going to be high water. So we're just kind of talking all different tactics, high water. So yes, but you're right, Sean.
No, you're right.
Plugs. But I will say one thing.
I'm going to downhill troll my plugs.
Before we get off this topic though, be safe out there too, man. There's a lot of crazy stuff in that river that will eat. I mean,
there was a boat pulling out at Vancouver. A buddy saw he had two outboards, but only one out drive.
Yeah, I saw a guy hit a big stump in the Columbia. Well, I didn't see it happen, but I saw the log was just torched. I mean, it was barely, you could see the top of it. Like, you ain't going up in the dark, I can tell you that. But just be safe, man. Stay middle channel. There's stuff everywhere. You know, there's going to be new stuff from this flood.
And see, Nick's just saying stay middle channel so you stay out of his trolls.
I troll pretty tight. I'm talking about when you're running, ladies.
So what was so funny was a couple years ago, I remember, dude, I got like three or four text messages, a couple messages, like everyone thought Popoff was twitching up springers in the channel because he strategically placed a coho like twitching jig in the background of one of his pictures just to make everyone rope. Like think.
Like, and, no, the caption was I wrote, it's think outside the box.
Yeah, it was, the captain was like think that. Outside the box. Then he had like strategically placed it in the background of like all these fish. Dude, and the last 2 weeks too, he had just been murdering them and posting all these pictures. And so everyone was hitting me up about it.
Dude, like, I had so many people be like, dude, are you seriously twitching in the Willamette? I'm like, dude.
I just run twitching jigs behind my 360s.
That's what I did,
That hair, that dude. Destroys them.
Shush. Oh, my gosh.
Why are you giving away secrets, dude?
Wait till we see the new twitching jigs.
So, talk about... Did you just give away a little secret?
No.
Talk about... Cam, like you talked a little bit about like back, talk more back trolling stuff, you know, like getting
I like it. I mean, it's just something different. And last, you know, last couple of years, oh, geez, sorry, I hit the mic, guys. Last couple of years, it's been real productive, but man, I couldn't get on them on the old back troll on the Columbia the last couple of days. And not, I don't think it's because
I feel like if you went out this weekend and did it, you'd mash it.
Yeah, and maybe, but one thing that was very strange and odd is we were fishing a rising river the last 4 or 5 days on the Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish were like shotgunning over these flats. They were not, they were like completely scattered about. They were not in like travel lanes. You would sit there and you would, water's high, it's murky, you'd catch a couple fish or see a couple fish caught 11, 12 feet of water like they're supposed to be. And then you'd look and there'd be some Googan out there trolling at 3.5 miles an hour, 40 feet of water. And you'd look, he'd be all by his lonesome out there in the middle and he'd get one. And you'd be like, what the hell? And you're like, oh, okay, well. And then like the inconsistency, the few fish that were there were scattered.
Yes, very
like
much
it
so.
wasn't line them up and tee off on them like it had been in the years past. And so one thing nice about back trolling versus anchor fishing is you can kind of adjust. Like you can kind of watch what's going on around you. You can just be sitting there working, you know, 15 feet of water or working the seam line or working this area. You see a couple fish a little deeper, you can kind of slide out. You can kind of really work it around, but shoot, I couldn't get on them. And so, I mean, I like the technique as far as using it in the Willamette, you know, in some of the tributaries as it gets up here. Unfortunately, with the high Columbia, you know, we lose a lot of the current stuff in the Willamette. I don't usually play the old waterfall game too much up there because I just can't stand feeding seals.
Yeah. Dude, last year I seen you mop them up back trolling, so I don't believe you.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, though, this year I couldn't get on them, whatever. I mean,
that's what it is. I watched him do it.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying. Trust me, I wanted to kill him. Trust me.
I think that there was just no, the fish are just like,
it was I don't think they were here yet.
Yeah, no, the situation was like, it didn't play into our favor. Big rising river, big storms, and we had all those crazy fronts coming through.
Sunday, no, like, if I go out, I can't Saturday because Saturday I got a cooking trip. But man, if I go out Sunday, this next podcast, you might be hearing an epic back troll bite because those rods are rigged and ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
We'll see. Or I might completely suck.
But once
never again, happens.
Oh.
Yeah. No, even the peanut gallery is like,
And the crowd goes wild.
Swanson.
Where's Swanson?
Where's Swanson at? The game.
Yeah, Swanson's been pretty damn consistent this year. He's caught on some fish.
Yeah, he's caught one first pass every day.
Yeah, he's like the first. I'm gonna call him One Fish Swanson.
One Dude. Fish Wonder.
But you want to know
wonder.
What?
Fish Wonder.
Hey, Mikey, he's you're not in good. This podcast.
I'm not, but you know.
Mikey's never touched a spring in his life.
I've been, you know, inexcusable, and I had very good luck. It's either the whoever rolls.
We need a fifth microphone now.
Just throwing it out.
We gotta have Mikey on a fishing.
Yeah, podcast. we'll have Mikey. You guys can hear Mikey a little bit in the background. We'll bring him onto a podcast here soon enough.
I'm that one kind of come out guy.
So talking high water tactics. So like with plug fishing. So are you guys running the stock trebles that come on your plugs? Or are you guys switching out to Siwashes? Or what are you guys doing for that?
I switch my trebles out. I don't like the Siwash. I mean, I don't know. I've had, everyone says that there's no perfect way to run a plug. I mean, in my opinion, you're going to lose fish, miss fish. It doesn't matter what hook you use. I just put standard treble with a little drop back swivel on it. But I do remove the belly hook a lot of times.
So my, one, you remove one the belly hook.
What's that?
You remove the belly
hook. It just has one.
Sometimes.
One treble.
Or one Siwash, one or the other. But there were these crazy hooks this dude gave me, and I don't know what they were, but they had like a backwards barb on them. Have you ever seen those?
Like,
a barb comes off the top. And that I had it on my one plug that he sent me like that, and dude, those hooks were money. I don't know what they are. You know who it was. Yeah, it was money. But I can't
find those. They weren't as good as Mustad.
I think they were a Mustad hook, honestly.
With a back barb?
No, it's like this weird, like, I don't even know if it was technically a barb. It was like, it was the weirdest hook I've ever seen, and he swore by it, and I ran it, and I never lost a fish on it all fall.
It's not those rigid ones where it has all the little ridges on
no.
it.
No, it's just one. It's like one barb, and it's like
If you guys like those out there, sorry, but
no, it's like a. It's got like a. It almost looks like a circle hook, you know, or like a big river bait hook, but like has this like tiny little like barb on the hook. Yeah.
Gamagatsu does that too.
Yeah, but it's not a Gamagatsu hook.
Name drop it,
dude.
Have people hit them up.
Yeah.
It's on the outside of the hook, so the ring face.
Mikey, people cannot hear you in this podcast. Shh.
I'm sorry for my people that want to be attention.
That was.
And you apologize to nobody because
the gentleman who sent. The gentleman who sent me that was Greg Daft, who runs Splatter.Customs, and he sent me those plugs rigged like that. And. He just, I met him on the river a long time ago, and he just gave me a couple plugs and told me to run it that way. And, dude, it was one of the most successful plugs I had, but I can never find those hooks. I look for them all over the place, and I don't know where they are.
Why is Clint over there acting like he, like, knows something about it? Where are they at, Clint?
Well, he knows the guy.
Where are the hooks?
I don't know. I can find out.
Yeah.
I can post in the group. I can find out.
No one can hear you either.
Yeah,
Clint's, I'm loud. Everyone can hear me. Guaranteed.
Clint is going to try to find the hooks that I'm talking about because there is a name to them, and they did work really, really well. And they're just a single hook like a Siwash. Not quite. They're a little more rounded, like a almost like a Siwash circle hook.
Dude, make them blow up Greg.
Yeah.
That message Splatter.Customs and ask him.
He'll you can you. Ask Greg at Splatter.Customs.
He'll tell you.
He paints some pretty sick plugs, too. Very sick.
Yeah, I have a few of his plugs. They're dope.
Dude, he sent me some that were just like, filthy. Oh, my God. You look at them and go, how does a fish not just jump in your boat for that? I mean, in the long run, it probably sells to the fishermen more than the fish because I think the fish are going to eat what they're going to eat. But, dude, his craftsmanship is sick. He's got some really, really cool stuff. And he'll do pretty much anything you want. I had some stupid ideas that I was like, hey, do this. And then you looked at them and I was like, man, those are dumb.
man, those are ugly.
They look good. I mean, the paint job he did on was phenomenal, but I couldn't believe I wanted those. It's the truth.
My bad.
So what about you, Cam? What do you like for hooks?
I'm kind of a stock hook guy until they kind of wear out just because the weight. You know, I've got plugs that are killers that I do not want to change.
And
I was going to say, like up on the noosh though, you know, you got to fish a single point. So there was a lot, you know, and I got to give a lot Bob Kratzer a lot of credit because I thought I knew plugs, especially, you know, kind of my game down here mm-hmm. where we can use two hooks. Well, you go start playing that single Siwash game. There's a lot more to it, you know, as far as like, you know, bending the offset and the hook and the eyes and how you run your drags and like what you're trying to achieve, like how you're balancing the plug on, you know, putting stuff on the belly. Like that's why I was kind of surprised to hear you remove the belly. But then mm-hmm. again, you hang it back. So I don't really know. I mean,
yeah.
And when you have those plugs, and it's funny because like when you go up there and you're in that much of a target rich environment,
mm-hmm.
you know, bad plug will still catch 10 fish a day.
But a good plug will catch 50.
Good plug, exactly, will catch 50 yeah. and it will be over. And when you have, you know, hundreds of fish stacked behind you in a little gravel rift that goes from 2 feet to 6 feet.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there backing those plugs down a long day, you can really figure out which one they choose. And so there was a lot. You know, there was a lot to it and a mm-hmm. lot to keeping, like, I mean, like our landing ratios bite to land on killer fish was like 85-90% with a single hook.
Damn.
Because of how you fished it versus, you know, necessarily the hook
and
you know, and so it's a big puzzle piece. And unfortunately down here, Springer fish, and we don't get to play that game. And I'm kind of, the thing is like, it's so stupid because I'm setting my ways. Like, okay, yeah. I've had these killer fish now for a shoot ever since they've been out and I don't want to change them.
Do you think that they tune differently with one hook versus two?
Well,
absolutely.
That's what I was just going to say is I had one of my best plugs ever was straight out of the box. Like mm-hmm. just fished it stock hooks. And I switched that plug because I had lost a few fish on it and I got pissed and I blamed it on the hooks, you know, like every fisherman would. And so I switched it to how I rigged my other plugs and that plug just stopped getting bit. Like, wow. And so it makes you rethink your whole process, you know, do you go back and
yeah, I give, I mean,
you should have put the stock hooks back on and seen what it did.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm yeah, and see, like I said, I'll give a plug. I mean, where it's applicable, I where it's legal, river when I did that. I'll give the plug a chance. And I mean, it's but it's kind of dumb because then, you know, when we go up there, all I'm saying is that if a plug that works great with double treble may not work, it doesn't seem to work maybe as well with a single Siwash. But if you start all your plugs, like if you have 50 plugs and like just like I did on the Nush, you go up there with 50 plugs and you
start them all.
You start them all single side. That's your baseline. You're still
gonna find your workers,
exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you did. And then you know as the season kind of progressed and we had just tons of fish.
Well,
and,
some you know, year with some maybe in like. 5 or 6 years when we get some fish back, you can experiment and try.
No, well, I mean, honestly, I should just run those Nush bugs down here is what I should do. Yeah, just be done with it. But, I mean,
do you think you could replicate the same conditions on anchor versus back trolling and stuff?
No, because I think when you do a lot of flatlining.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And so you don't have jet divers, you don't have lead balls.
So you don't have all that extra drag.
You're always on the motor. You're always on the motor. So the second they start to bite, you know, you're not an anchor. So when they're biting and they've loaded that rod up, you know, you can just quickly just your hands on the throttle, just like you do, you know, kind of speeding into a herring bite. You can bury that hook just instantly. Where on anchor you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple, but it's weird because for how much different it is really from down here. And how successful they are with plugs up there versus here. And it's not a fact that, oh, okay, well, you're missing half, but you catch so many fish you don't realize it. No, like, the landing ratio is insanely impressive. Like, it'd blow your mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think the water's faster. The water's faster, too. And
so that's your another flatline, thing.
And that, what's that?
That's another thing. Like, we're fishing a lot of the anchor spots. Yep, fish, especially kind of in like the Willamette water. You get that slow-ass water that's just kind of like, almost barely working your plugs. And those fish eat it, and there's not enough current to set the hook for you. So those fish are swimming around
They get plug. Spiked. They throw it out of their face real quick. They're gone. You know, that's why you see that triple pump. And, you know, And like I said, that's why I said ultimate. 25
bites and land 5, you know?
Right. And I think it's just apples and oranges. As much as like it's still plug fishing, it's just not the same. I mean, it's completely different.
That's what I mean. You can't replicate off of something done on a fast moving river where you're back trolling.
I mean, the deepest spots we were fishing most of the time are like 6-7 feet.
Yeah. And then you go 10
foot stuff,
but it's still 15 to 25 feet.
Right.
And
everything's so much different.
Yeah. It's apples to oranges at that point. Well,
I remember a day, though, that Marlon and Cameron limited their boat, and we all had about the same amount of hookups, but Marlon and Cameron limited their boat, and we probably landed 2 compared to their 6. And. Yep. I thought that we were doing the same thing, and so I don't know.
That's a small sample size, though, because everybody's had those days where you're like, summer chinooking on the Columbia, and you're like, with plugs, and you're like 2 for 12 or something, and then the next day you go out and you're 6 for 7 or something. Yeah. Like, I think everyone's had those days. You got to look at stuff like, you can't look at stuff for like, you can't look at bite to bite or day to day. You got to look at stuff over a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's how you can pattern them a lot easier.
And that's how we develop addicted products, too, boys and girls. Anyways.
Shameless
little pitch there. We spend a lot of time on the damn water.
Everything that we come out with and try to do, we try to make sure that it's right and stuff that we want to use, too. So
yeah. And we spend whole seasons doing it.
Exactly.
And I have seen it tenfold just destroy other people fishing. Like Bob Walker, for instance, that's a fine example.
Oh, geez! And with that being said, we're gonna end it. We're gonna end it on a slap to Bob Walker.
I was gonna say, no, we're all cursed. We will not catch one stringer on this extension. We might as well just go kokanee fishing, bud.
I wasn't part of that. I was over here in my own little area, minding my own business.
Oh well, thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. Like always, if you're on YouTube, don't forget to please tap that subscribe button, comment below, share this out there, and if you're on all the other platforms, please leave us a review. Let us know how you guys are liking these podcasts. Let us know what you think about the new set. Like I said, we're gonna keep adding to it, making it a lot more immersive for the video portion of this. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you guys on the river.
Later, guys.